Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the book of Job. I hope not to be very long this morning. Job chapter 11 and verse 6. Thank you coming to the house of the Lord this morning on this, once again, this rainy, stormy day. This is a comment from one of Job's three friends. And if you know any about his three comforters, they comfort him by saying, "You must have sinned. You messed up. What's wrong with you, Job? God's against you." And they weren't much for comforters, but that was three of Job's friends. And this is what one said in verse 6 of chapter 11. "And that he would shew thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is," meaning it's twice what man has. It's more than you have or I have. "Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth." Knowing that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity. You sure messed up. Look at you with losing everything, lost your kids, lost all. Oh, you have really messed up, because God never punishes anybody more than they deserve. I want to preach for a little while from this title, "There's Nothing Exact." There is nothing exact. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercies and your grace this morning, your love that, Lord, that reaches beyond our comprehension and saves a wretch like us this morning. If it wasn't for your love and mercies, we wouldn't be here today. And we're thankful for it. Lord, if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. But I'm thankful for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There is nothing exact. How was y'all's weekend? Did y'all's weekend good? Good. Good. How was y'all's weekend? Weekend good? Good. Oh, how was my weekend? I just thought I'd glad y'all asked about my weekend. I'm sorry, Jerry, you're going to have to hear about it. She's shaking her head. I'm so glad. Terrible. Got a ticket. I'm getting there. You're with me already. You're with me. Don't even know what for, but you're with me. You belong to me, huh? Okay. Went fishing. Just peaceful. Out in the lake. Trolling around. And up comes a game warden. Three of them. Three knuckleheads. I mean, three gentlemen. Three. They come up in their boat. I've been checked hundreds of times, literally. Because the game warden station is right down from where I'm at. I'm tempted. They've checked me so many times. I get signed. You checked me already today. One time they checked me twice in one day. I was like, I didn't go in and come back out. I mean, I'm still, they got me going and coming. They've checked me. So anyway, they're fishing. They pull over. I'm like, okay, routine deal, And he says, we're doing boating safety checking today. I said, okay, what you want to see? Let me see your fire extinguisher. I said, it's right. I said, it's here somewhere. And what had happened, of course, I began to tell him, I said, I got a lot of stuff in this boat. I said, but it's here. I said, I know it's not real accessible if there was a fire, but it's here, And so they don't say you have to keep it accessible, you just have to have one. So y'all got time for this? Because I'm going to make time. And so anyway, I looked, and I said, I keep it right. I remember what happened. I said, I took my boat into the shop, and it sits out in the rain, so I took everything out of it so that it wouldn't get wet or nothing get stolen. And when I loaded everything back up, I said, I it's on my wharf. That's my camp right there. It's on my wharf. I said, right there. So, I can catch it from here. Yeah. So anyway, I was like, and they're going, and the younger one, there was one they were training, I could tell because they was having to tell him what to do and had to help him fill out the ticket. And so he says, sir, have you ever received a citation from the Wildlife and Fisheries before? And I hope you get this CD, sir. I got his name. Y'all send it to him, brother. I hope you run into him on the lake and give him the CD. And so I said, oh, no, sir, never have. I said, I've been checked hundreds of times. I'm 61 years old, fished and hunted all my life, and never have. And I thought, well, he's going to be, don't want to give me, he don't want to be the guy. I mean, he's just new. He don't want to be the guy to give me my first ticket. Wrong. This is what he said. He said, so you've never gotten a ticket, a citation for the Wildlife Fishery Board in all your life? I said, no, sir, never have. He said, you're fixing to get one. You're fixing to get your first one. And when he said that, I turned the other cheek. But it was the wrong one. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious? He said, yeah. He started, let me see your driver's license. I could have said, I'm not driving. And been a real smart aleck. I don't need my driver's license out here. You don't have to have a driver's license to operate a boat. But I was going to turn the other cheek, and I said, okay, here you go. I said, I can't believe you're going to, are you serious? He said, yes, sir, I'm serious. And I could see the other guy smirking a little bit, which kind of, like, I want to say, wipe that smirk off your face. And, but I didn't. And so I said, let me tell y'all a story. Felt the anointing, you know. Let me tell y'all a story. I said, one time I ran a yellow light. Oh, yeah, I told him. I said, one time I was driving, I ran a yellow light. And the state trooper gave me a ticket for running a red light, but it was yellow. I said, and you know what? That same state trooper run a stop sign. And he piped up. He said, well, he's probably after somebody. I said, no, he wasn't after anybody. And I'll tell you how I know, boy, the anointing was coming on me. I said, I'll tell you how I know that he run a stop sign. Because everybody runs stop signs. Unless you come to a 100 complete stop, you have run the stop sign. And he said, yeah, I got a ticket for that once too. I said, and didn't you ask for mercy just like I am? And you're going to do to me what you... I said, this is the problem with the law. I said, you're doing to me with the same thing that you asked for, now you're not giving it to me. And so I commenced saying, I said, well, let me tell y'all something. I want to tell y'all, I said, I want all three of you guys to remember me for the rest of your life. Every time you come to a stop sign and you don't stop all the way, you have broken the law. But you get no ticket and you intentionally run the stop sign. You know you didn't stop all the way. I have unintentionally come out here to go fishing and don't have my fire extinguisher. And you intentionally run the stop sign and get no ticket. I unintentionally do this and you have no mercy. So remember, every time for the you three guys, for the rest of your life, I want you to remember that every time you come to a stop sign, you don't stop all the way, remember me. Because what you're doing is wrong. And I commence to say, there is the spirit of the law and there is the letter of the law. And you're living by the letter of the law. And I wanted to say the rest of scripture, but I'm afraid they'd hang me for that. The letter killeth. But I won't say that because they don't understand that. I said, that's what y'all want to live by, the letter of the law. I said, of the 100 times I've been checked, no one has ever asked me for a fire extinguisher. Not one time. Never. But today you're going to ask me for it. Why didn't y'all ask me the last 100 times for the fire extinguisher? Well, today this is what we're checking. I said, okay. So you're not out here to help me. You're out here to catch me. Because I said, if you was going to help me, you'd say, Mr. Baggett, here's the 5 things you better have in your boat. This is what you need for your own safety. But you're here to catch me. And about the time he got through with that ticket and the other game warden helped fill him out, the other one says, where's your throw cushion? said, we're trying to be easy on you. I said, I don't have one. Took it out too. I don't have one. I said, and that's my problem. You've already written me up for the fire extinguisher. Now you tell me I need a throw cushion. If you hadn't have said that, then another game warden comes by and says, where's your throw cushion? And I say, I don't have one. And he writes me up. When you could have helped me in the very beginning and said, now you need your throw cushion, you need this. He said, it's all in the back of that little pamphlet. And then he said, have a good rest of your day. I said, I'll try. And I had a fish in the boat. And he said, I said, it's legal. Nice one. He said, show it to me. I said, I'll be glad to. So I reached there and finally caught that monster and brought him out. I said, there he is. He's at least 14 inches. I said all that to say this. Y'all pray for me. And pray for my wife. She had to hear it all the way home. And to finish my story, I'm coming out of the lake and I'm go to Anacoka. There's a double railroad track there. And there's a big white line where you're supposed to stop before you get to the railroad track, right? Okay, I have stopped, but the traffic at the light, which across the two railroad tracks, like from here to the door over there, it had begun to move. So I thought it had moved enough for me to cross over. But it didn't. And it left me out on the railroad track. So I look in my mirror. Guess who's behind me on the other railroad track? The policeman. Right? The policeman. And when he realizes this traffic's not moving, he starts backing up. And he gets behind the line. I said, don't you dare get out of your car and come write me up. I am not in a mood for you to break the law yourself and come write me up too. Thank the Lord. The devil was after me. So, they'll remember me now. I just had to tell y'all that. I don't know. I listen to y'all's stories. So you get to hear mine. My message is there's nothing exact. I don't know if I got that message from that or not, but for the most part, you know, we use this word that there's no deviation, there's no various, you know, only with Christ was everything exact. And what Christ did, he did not do away with the law. He fulfilled every letter of the law. He fulfilled it. They couldn't have wrote him up. He had had a fire extinguisher. So he fulfilled everything. He is the only one that's exact. But do you know he does not require that same exactness out of you that he did? Yeah, you better say thank you, Jesus. If he required that out of us, we would all be lost. But I brought these. I know kids today know how to use an iPhone. I don't know if they know how to use this, though. You know how to use this? You do? Okay, duh. I know how to use this. All right, let's see if you know how to use it. You want to help me? Okay, sure. I want you to take this. I want you to measure that bench, this bench right here you're sitting on. You know how to use this? You know, anybody know? Anybody else? Well, you know how to use this? You sure? It's boys against girls now. All right? Oh, no, 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 no. No help. No help, Mama. No help. No help. Well, you got to figure it out. You want to do it? I want you to measure this bench. You can always pass it to one of them boys if you want to. I want you to measure this bench. Well, you said you knew how to use this thing. Now, let me get my pen and paper because we're going to find out this measurement here. Don't mind them. They can't do it either.
You can't do it.
bench to the right here. Bench on right. Got it? Give me the exact measurement now. I want it exact.
9 feet.
9 feet. And 11 inches?
Yeah.
Good enough. 11 inches, okay. These benches are exactly alike, right? I mean, they're exactly alike. What was yours measure?
About 9 feet.
That's exact. Okay, bench on left, 9 feet about. Okay. Thank you. You know how to use this thing? Measure that. Come on, Whitney. Where's that other one at? Give it here. Because you ought to come up with the same measurement. I mean, come on. It's exact. It hasn't moved. It's stationary. Measure. It's got to be the same thing. Okay, bench on the left. How much you got?
All right, 102 and a half.
No, give it to me in feet and inches.
Oh, Lordy.
Hey.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Look, it's on the floor. Hey.
Hold on.
Okay.
Nine. Okay,
bench on
9.6.
9.
No, 8.6.
Wait a minute.
8.6.
I want it exact.
8.6.
8.6. Is that like 8.5?
Eight feet, six inches.
8 feet, 6 inches. 8 foot.
Now, you want it from the outside or the inside?
Well, I just want the measurement of the bench.
Oh, you got to tell me you want it from
the outside. Well, I don't want the measure of the bench, or whatever that means. What'd you come up with?
9 inches.
9 inches? Well, that's a little bitty bench. Look.
9 inches, 9 feet.
Yeah. Oh, 9 feet. Okay. Bench on right. You're on to something here. About, okay. We keep using that word, you notice? About.
Nine and like,
okay. 9 foot. It looks like it, okay. Is 1/4 a quarter? Is that what that is? Quarter of an inch or quarter of a foot or what? Wes, that's good enough. It'll prove my point. It don't matter. 1/4. I like that. Don't let it take up with you. So, we have two skilled people measured each one. The one on my right here was 9 and 11 by one measurement. It was 9 feet, 11 inches, and the other one measured 9 foot and 1/4 inch. The one over here was 9 foot by one measurement, and it was 8 foot, 6 inches by the other measurement. Who am I supposed to believe? So, you see what already you got my message, right? There's nothing exact. I can tell you your sleeves need to be here. I can tell you that you're dressing it. I can tell you that there's nothing exact. How long is long? How short is short? How high is high? Keep that in mind as I go a little deeper into this message. Exact. They're exact can be used in nouns and verbs and things like that, but exact as a measurement means this is it. I mean, this is it. Exact is what you should be able to measure it again and again and again and again, and you get another tape measure and again, and it come up the same thing. But it won't. It won't. Amen. Exact means being capable of reproducing the same thing time after time after time. And under Moses' law, he tried that, and he said, we're going to use the word exact. Now, exact means to force, okay? In this scripture, it says, God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity. It means he requires of you less. Because if God wanted exactly back, what you've done wrong, you'd never pay for it. And so Moses said, we're going to use the exact back rule. And so in the Moses law, the exact back rule is an eye for a what? An eye. And a tooth for a what? A tooth. So if you bust out my front central incisor tooth, I hold him down, I get to bust his out. I want exactly back what he did to me. It didn't work too good. It didn't work too good. Because to exact back something means I'm going to force you to give me back everything perhaps you stole from me or what owns to me. So we read in Deuteronomy 15 and 2, it says, and this is the manner of the release. This is called the Lord's release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. Release it. You know how many things we need to release? I'm still releasing what happened this weekend. I got to release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, meaning he shall not force him to give back what he took from him or what he owes him of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. And when God releases something, you have to let it go. And you cannot, he said, of your brothers and your sisters and of your own family, it require back what I release. Of a foreigner, though, he said, thou exact it again. Of those that are not of the household, you can get back, but that which is thine with thine brother in thy brother's hand shall you release. Amen. There is nothing exact in the kingdom of God. Now, the world tries to make things exact. And when you pay your mortgage off, you'll pay it down to the very last penny. But in the kingdom of God, as foreign as that may sound, there is nothing exact. He does not force back what you owe him. He does not hold you accountable for what you stole years ago. He does not hold you accountable for all the lies and things that you did. Because if he did, you could not pay him back. Mm-mm-mm. When God forgives something, he forgives it. And he told Israel, said, when I forgive something, you have to forgive it too. The problem is that many times we take back, we exact back, what we have required of somebody. There was two men. You may remember the story. There was two men that owed their Lord. One of them owed the Lord 10,000 talents. That's a boatload of money. Whatever it is, it's a lot. And he had nothing to pay him. So he goes to his Lord who required of him to exact it back. Pay me what you owe me. And the man says, I can't. I don't have it. And the Lord said to him, if you'll be patient with me, I will pay thee all that I owe thee. And the Bible says the Lord was moved with compassion. And rather than exacting it back, he said, hey, I'm going to let you go. So that you don't even owe me back that and the usury. It's clean. I forgive you. So this same man that got forgiven for 10,000 talents goes out and finds another man that owes him 100 pence, pennies. And he goes to this fellow, shaking him and choking him and saying, pay me what thou owest me. He's trying to exact it back. Give me what you owe me. And if you don't, I'll throw you into the prison. And the guy said the same words that he said. The same thing he said. If you'll be patient with me, I will pay you all that I owe you. But he would not, and threw him in prison. See what happens when you try to exact it back? And so when the Lord heard that this other man was not merciful as he was to the other guy, he called him back. And he said, hey, what's this I hear of you doing this? Now, if you want to do that, I'll exact back what you tried to exact out of him. Put him in prison till he payeth every might and torment him. Did you hear that last part? Put him in with the tormentors until he pays back every last mite. I've tried to teach you that's what hell is. Hell is pay, is a payback. That's what hell is. Because you have an opportunity to give it all to him today. And him to say, I forgive you. But if you don't get forgiveness, you will pay it back. And they used torment in those days as a form of payment. Because they wanted to see them suffer because they couldn't pay me. Now, make them suffer until they've paid. And they degreed that as to how much suffering they did and how much that was worth. Until they paid back the very last mite. And so, my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that God is being merciful with us. And he's giving us time to relinquish our debts with him. And God is all about mercy. He's not about getting you back. Somebody said, whoa, they're going through all, God's getting them back. No, God's not into getting you back. God is into giving you mercy. The get back comes in the end. It's the future of the dead. This concept of exacting things back, when you look at Cain and Abel, Cain slew Abel, right? Well, what did Abel deserve? I'm trying to show you a concept of our great God. What did Abel deserve, Cain deserve? Death. He killed his brother. But when the Lord found Cain, he said, why has thy countenance fallen? And we go through all of this. Where's your brother at? He said, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, thy brother's voice, the blood of thy brother's voice cries to me from the ground. You've killed him. And the Bible says, and the Lord set a mark on Cain's head, lest anybody finding him would kill him to protect him. He deserved to die. But Mr. Cain said this, my punishment is more than I can bear. And he had killed his brother. I'm trying to show you a concept in my preaching this morning that God requires less out of you than you think he does. And that's a good thing. David had committed a sin. God told him, don't number the people, don't number them. You know, just trust in me, don't number them. And David got scared and he numbered the people. He went out and counted them. All of Israel counted. And the Lord was wroth with him. For sinning and going against what the Lord told him. He said, okay, now, you're going to have to pay me back. And so what you're going to do, I'll either let you go into pestilence, will devour the land, or you can fall into the hands of your enemies, or you can fall and be at the mercy of me, be at the mercy of God. And David said, that's easy. I don't want the pestilence, and men are not merciful. You hear me? People are not merciful. Can I tell you one other thing to go on that little thing about the... So I text another game warden. See, I'm still on it. I text another game warden. He's on my lease right now trapping ducks because I let him on. Been doing it for 30 years. I let him go out there and trap ducks and they band them and turkeys and they do all this and I'm real nice to them. One day, I had out, people had been stealing my cameras. So I put a camera on the camera. Yeah. I put a camera on the camera because they get fascinated with tend to this camera. They don't know I got another camera. So I said, I wonder who's doing that. So I put a camera on the camera. After a while, I saw I had some videos. I looked, and here goes somebody on a four-wheeler. But they're standing up so they can't be seen. But I recognize the shoes. They had no mud on them. It was the black shoes that game wardens wear. And I recognize the uniform. He's standing up because he sees the camera. He don't want to get caught. He passes by. He's not done. He comes back, gets off the four-wheeler, opens my camera up, pulls the card out, puts it in a thing he's got, and erased his pictures. Oh, yes. Erased his pictures. I got the whole story. I got the scoop, and it's not fake news. And so I'm like, I cannot believe this. So I take it in to the captain here. I bring it in, and I said, you know this guy? He looked and said, yep, sure do. He said, he ain't supposed to do that. I said, why is he doing that? I said, I've been losing cameras. I said, I don't want to suspect him to steal them. He said, well, he wouldn't steal them. I said, I didn't think he'd do that either. I didn't think he would do that. He said, well, the reason he did that is because he's scared. He's scared because he's really trespassing on your property without cause, and he's afraid you'll retaliate on him. So he's erasing his picture so you don't know he's been on there. You don't know who's been on there. I said, that's not right. Because I see every track that goes in and out of my lease. I know someone's been on there. And so he said, well, you can press charges if you want to. Guess what I said? No, I don't want to press charges. I don't want to press. I just want an explanation. That's all. It's fine. I said, I get along. I said, I get along too good with you guys to enforce this. And this is what I get? Back to my message here. Our text says that Job did not declare that he had sinned. And it looked like God was exacting back from Job for sin. So his buddies began to say, Job, look at yourself, man. So in Job chapter 11, 6, I read it to you. And he would shew thee the secrets of the wisdom, that they are double that of men. Know this. He said, oh, know this, Job. Therefore God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. So, Lord, you must have really done something bad for all of this to be coming on you. And sometimes, if we're not careful, my brothers and sisters, when we go through something, we think that God is punishing us. But let me tell you, with Job was not being punished, he was being tried. He was being tried. Amen. And God was seeing what kind of godly person he was, meaning will you last to the end or will you give up? He was not punishing him. He was checking out, now get this, the authenticity of Job and his devotion to God, because the devil said he's not authentic. Anybody can worship you who's got all this stuff. Isn't that what the devil said? He's not authentic. He said, take all of his stuff away and we'll see how authentic he is. Now, this is what I want to teach you. Genuine and authentic are two different things. Because you can be genuine. Genuine is how you start out. Genuine is the original. It's the first. But that doesn't mean you're authentic. Genuine refers to the original, but not necessarily the durable. Authentic is the authoritative confirmation that the thing that is claimed to be is the thing it's claimed to be. It was genuine too, but a lot of genuines never become authentic. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, he knows your heart, but are you authentic? Authentic is only becomes authentic when it is tested and when it is tried. Genuine don't count. Authentic does. And he tested Job by fire to see if he was authentic. And Job came out authentic. He came out as gold. Job said this. He said, I genuinely serve the Lord. I genuinely do all these things. He said, I look for the Lord. I search for the Lord day and night. I go forward and I'm looking for him. I don't see him. I go backward. I don't see him. I go to the right and I go to the left. I'm diligently searching. I'm genuine in my heart. He said, but this I know. I can't find him. But this I know. I don't know where he's in my troubles. But this I know, that when I come forth, I'll be authentic. When I come forth, I will be as gold. Do we have any authentic people out there? Amen. You're even in pastor, you need an authentic pastor. Somebody says, oh, he's genuine. But is he authentic? The Bible talks about people that are pastors that when the wolves come, when the sheep in trouble and the wolves come, they flee. They're not authentic. They have not been tried. And God is looking for authentic Christians as they come this morning. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the authentic. Amen. a lot of people start out genuine and they say, oh, my heart, God knows my heart. And yes, he does. But I want to tell you, you must be proven in the furnace of affliction to be authentic. God is not punishing you. He's not punishing you. He does not punish his children. He corrects them. There's a difference. He chastises them. Punishment is to the dead. God is not trying to exact back from you what you really deserve. Close your eyes right where you're at, if you would. Think back of all the things you've done that were wrong. Think about all the past, and you rang up a big bill. You rang up a big debt. And I'm not talking about dollars and cents, however that may be there too. What I'm talking about is sinning against God. And the longer you live, the bigger that debt got, the higher it got. And it's like, oh my God, I can never pay this debt off. But I have some good news for every one of us. No matter how big your debt is, no matter how much sin you've done, even if it was this morning or yesterday, God's not asking you to pay him back. God, through Christ, paid the price. Through one man, all sins can be forgiven. And God's not here to punish you. He's not here. Maybe trouble brought you to God this morning. Maybe it's the heartaches you're going through that said, I need help. I got to do it. That's fine. God uses those things to bring you to him, realizing that only God can help you now. You know where God's at his best, so to speak, is when men realize no one else can help me but God. And this morning as you stand, I would ask anybody and everybody who's a debtor to the kingdom of God, I owe the Lord so much. I owe him more than my life. I owe him more than I could give. Money cannot, I could not give him back money. I can't give him anything but me. And if you want to come down here this morning, I invite you to come. Come and partake of God's mercies and God's love and God's forgiveness. It's free this morning. God's not trying to charge you back for all your sins. He's trying to forgive you this morning. And what you deserve is more than what he's going to forgive you of. Forgiveness is yours this morning. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Forgiveness is yours. Hallelujah. I remember Jacob. You know, from the womb, he was the conniver. He was trying to get the blessings the wrong way and beat his brother out. He didn't lie to him. He was up front. He said, yeah, you give me the birthright, I'll give you a bowl of beans. And he knew that wasn't right. He could do it, but it wasn't right. And then later he got the double blessing from his brother. He stole that too. And he went to sleep as he's running from his brother because he was afraid he's going to kill him. You remember that? He run and he went as far as he could go and he laid his head down on a bunch of rocks. What kind of pillow was that, right? He laid his head down on a bunch of rocks and went to sleep. And he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the Lord at the top of a ladder, and angels going up and down. And you know what the Lord said? I'm with you. I'm with you? Are you serious? Didn't you see what I just did? He said, no, you don't deserve it. But I'm with you because I can use you. Hallelujah. I can use you. Hallelujah. You can be a testimony for me. You didn't deserve that healing this morning, but I can use you. Because you can witness for me. And he woke up and said, wow, this is a dreadful place. Surely the Lord was in his place and I knew it not. This is scary that the Lord says he's with me and look at what I've just done. So after the Lord began to bless him, he went to Laban's house and he begins to change his way and he gets all these blessings and his cows, you know, they flourish and he gets wealthy working for his father-in-law. And finally it's time to go home and he crosses Jaboth. He crosses the little river there and I imagine he started crying. I know what he said. He said this, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of thy blessings. Look at my past. I wish somebody would just get a glimpse of your past. And then look at God's mercy and grace and say, Lord, I shouldn't even be here today. He's allowed me to live and he's continued to bless me even when I was wrong. Let's thank him today. God, I thank you, Lord. You've kept me not only alive, but you've blessed me. And you've kept me going until I realized the error of my ways. And Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy and your grace in a time when I did not deserve it and never will. But you paid the price for my sins and for my transgressions. And Lord, I'm glad you don't charge me back, because if you did, I couldn't pay it. But you took it. It was in that bitter cup you drank that day. It was in that cup, God. You swallowed the dregs that I might live. And I'm thankful for it this morning. We're all thankful for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God loves every one of us more than you think he loves you. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you for listening to my stories. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another little song as we get ready to go. Where would you be free?